Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. I have to say, and I say this without any reservation, that probably second only to Luther, and it's a very, very close second, because through the writings and the work and the thought of this 19th century Lutheran theologian, I came to know Luther much better. C.F.W. Walther, this 19th century theologian, churchman, in many ways pioneer and missionary, is the most influential theologian on me, personally, as a pastor. And I say that without reservation. No one is second, even a close second, to him. Why would it be that one man's thought could influence so much of American Christianity? Well, it has. Born in Germany, comes over here through, well, really what he came to regret as a serious mistake and error in judgment. He said his greatest sin, leaving Germany and his congregation behind to emigrate to the United States, and then here, involved in, well, at least on the periphery of some scandal, he eventually had to ask serious questions. He and along with the many who were his parishioners, serious questions about what it meant to be Lutherans in America, what it meant to be the church in America. Joining us to talk about the person and work of C.F.W. Walther here on Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, September the 23rd, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of a forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine column titled Back to Walther, Pastor Matt Harrison. Welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you, Todd.
How would you explain the importance of the theologian, the churchman, C.F.W. Walther, to a listener who just has no idea who this man is, his importance in American Christianity?
I think I would just talk about Walther as part of a larger and ecumenical movement that occurred in the 19th century. Hermann Zass often pointed this out. The 19th century was a great push back to figure out what the church is. And this happened, and you had huge periods and influential revivals in Anglicanism, even in Roman Catholicism, in Lutheranism, in other Protestant denominations and churches, and the state churches in Germany and elsewhere in Europe. It was an era that sort of started with Romanticism in the 1820s and 30s. You had a reoccurrence of you know, poetry and looking into the romantic past of Germany and other places, and that broke forth into kind of trying to figure out who a guy like Bach was, and then what was the faith of Bach, and all of a sudden you find Orthodox Lutheranism for the Germans. So Walther is part of this whole movement to get back to the Bible after a period of rationalism had just devastated the Christian faith.
His call, in fact, you point out that he made it the masthead for the magazine he founded and almost single-handedly wrote for a number of decades, called Der Lutheraner, The Lutheran. He made the masthead, this call to back to scriptures, back to the confessions, back to Luther. He talks about Luther and his doctrine remaining forever. Why?
The Enlightenment so affected everything in the church. What happened about 1750, it really gains the upper hand. What happened is you had the period of Lutheran Orthodoxy, which lasts till about 1700, and then the period of Pietism comes, and Pietism is not so concerned with doctrine and teachings and all those places in the Bible that insist on pure doctrine. Pietism was a reaction against sort of a cold Orthodoxy and a pro forma Orthodoxy, saying one really needs to feel the faith in the heart. And there were all kinds of different attempts, all kinds of different brands of Pietism. But Pietism was convinced of this feeling in the heart, and when one Pietist who felt Jesus in the heart could feel another Christian of another denomination and knew that there was a true brother or sister, that therefore the doctrinal things that divided them were not important. But what happened was, in the de-emphasis on the teaching of the New Testament, on pure doctrine, that left the church open for the next period of development, rationalism, which began to question whether the miracles in the Bible actually happened, or that whether miracles ever happened. And the universe is a closed system. The deists in England had their influence in Germany, and this rationalism just washed over the church. And so things like the blood of Jesus as God's son for sacrifice were rejected, and the great emphasis became morality.
If you read C.F.W. Walther, especially his seminal works, Long Gospel, Church and Ministry, you discover that he was not really interested in doing original theology. He was not a trailblazer in any way whatsoever. He usually followed a method of stating the scriptural truths from the proper passages, and then he would cite the Lutheran confessions, and then he would go on to cite the fathers. The foremost in his mind was Luther himself, and just drawing conclusions, actually, Matt, frankly, that men before him for many generations had been drawing from the same passages of Scripture. Why no avant-garde? Why no new ideas with Walther?
Well, I suspect in part, I mean, all these things are attributable in part to personality. And by the way, Walther himself was a very astute student of personality type, as he writes in Law and Gospel, and he says, every preacher should understand different personality types so he can best apply Law and Gospel. I'm sure part of it was a personality type. But Walther, you know, came over with this crazy kind of apocalyptic group of radical Lutherans that, with Martin Stephan, they immigrated to Perry County in Perry County in Missouri, about 100 miles south of St. Louis. And they were really kind of fanatics. They believed they were kind of an Orthodox Lutheran pod leaving Europe, and that nobody who stayed in Europe would be saved. That whole thing fell to pieces almost immediately. And so Walther was really left trying to figure out, well, what did we do? Is the church still among us? Do we still have the office of the ministry? We have no bishop. What happens? And in order to sort this out, while also struggling with his own depression over having done all this and having happened to so many of them, of course, dying from disease and other things going on in the wilderness, he had Luther's writings, and he had his scriptures, and he was just desperately looking for answers for the circumstance. And in doing so, as he had done prior, at a period of his life when he had a breakdown at university, he just turned to Luther's writings and found the answers he was looking for. And his restoration was simply to say, Luther got it right. Let's be Lutheran.
Speaking of his personality, I think one of the things you're fond of pointing out, not to denigrate Walther in any way, but actually to, in many ways, help us understand the time he lived, the task he had imposed upon him, was that this was a man who, in some stages of his long and very storied ministry, was very fragile personally, overworked himself, pushed himself really to the breaking point, and not necessarily with a good result. Tell us about it.
Well, he had several breakdowns in his life, and they were all associated with his vocation. First was when he, in the 20s, when he was a young man studying at the university, he was really conflicted about what he should do. He goes home and finds in his father's library, his dad is a pastor at Langenkursdorf in Saxony. I've been there. It's a lovely little, you'd think you were at a little town in southern Illinois among the cornfields. And mild rolling hills, it's astounding to be there. He has this crisis, and he turns to Luther for consolation and understanding. He becomes vocationally more sure. He ends up studying at the university, finishes his degree for the ministry. He is called in the ministry, stays for a short time at a little town about 3 kilometers away, Breunsdorf. And he's still struggling to understand what it is to be a Lutheran, but he had gotten in contact with a guy named Martin Stefan in Dresden, a great Lutheran preacher, and a guy who had studied under J.G. Scheibel up in Breslau and was against the Prussian Union. So there were all kind of interesting connections. They came to the U.S. The shipwreck that I told you about occurs in early 1839, 1840, 1841. Walther's really struggling again and has another period, a dark period. This happens again in 1859, when he's lost a child a year or two before, and his friends Winneken and Kramer, Kramer, the famous missionary from Michigan and president, one of the earliest presidents of our Fort Wayne Seminary, came to Walther and said, "You need to take a break, step aside." And Walther writes a magnificent letter to his congregation. I've translated it and put it in the book At Home in the House of My Fathers, where he describes his own basically clinical depression. And he got away. Soon he's writing to his dear wife that he's being treated real well by the Hoppies down in New Orleans. He's taken a boat down, and he's flopping about. His throat's feeling better. And he tells his wife, "I'm smoking an occasional cigar, reading Shakespeare." Now, he tells her, "I'm smoking an occasional cigar," I'm sure, because he was no doubt, while he was overworked, smoking too much, and it was making his throat feel bad. So he hadn't dumped the habit, but he had cut down quite considerably. But all these things made him a great pastor, frankly. They just reduced him to nothing and made him a great, compassionate pastor, compassionate also for people in their physical and mental needs.
We'll take a break when we come back a little more with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, remembering C.F.W. Walther, 19th century theologian, first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Here's a resource for your high school or college-aged child or grandchild as they begin a new school year. It's Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students. You'll find an introduction with answers to questions like, is the Bible reliable and trustworthy? Who wrote the Bible? And more. You can order Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Concordia's Complete Bible Handbook for Students.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Elections have consequences.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Associated Press recently asserted that a wave of pro-life bills being considered in state legislatures across the country is the biggest political threat to abortion since 1973. A spokesperson for the Guttmacher Institute called it a total onslaught. Not only are there a large number of pro-life bills being considered, but more importantly, many of the bills threaten to make it much more difficult to get an abortion. Some states are considering mandatory sonograms and counseling before getting an abortion. Others may ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, or even prohibit insurance policies from paying for abortions.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the life and work of 19th century American Lutheran theologian C.F.W. Walther. He was, at the bottom line, Matt, a pastor concerned with the people of God at the congregational level. Talk about that.
Well, Walther dies in 1887, in May of 1887, and about 5 years later, his congregation's dedicated a mausoleum at his gravesite, and it's in Concordia Cemetery in South St. Louis on Bates Street today. It's in great shape. It's actually preserved and owned by the Synod, that mausoleum, by the Synod itself, Synod Incorporated. But at that mausoleum's dedication, Francis Pieper, who succeeded Walther as president of the seminary, Francis Pieper gave a wonderful address to a couple of thousand people gathered, numbers similar to the funeral, I guess, and said, all of you are here. You knew Walther as a pastor, and you knew how much he cared for people's not only spiritual needs, but their physical needs, and how he taught that the church has a responsibility to care for fellow believers, especially in times of difficulty physically. And unless you read those kind of things, also Walther's pastoral theology, we have a partial translation by Drickamer, but we really need the whole thing. And Walther talks about the practice of being a pastor and how to do visitations and how to preach and how the call happens and how do you resign a call and all those kind of, you know, what do you do, who do you admit to communion. Walther deals with all these things, but there's a special section in there which talks about the pastor's responsibility to care for people in need. It's within his Amtspflichtungen, his official duties, to care, to see that the poor, the weak, the widow, the orphan, the needy are cared for. And he even says in times of disaster that a Christian congregation is to care for those outside the church, especially to demonstrate the love of Christ.
Finally, then, you are the 13th president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What have you learned from the first?
I think what's extraordinary in the literature, if you read Walther, and I've read a lot of Walther, translated a lot of Walther, is he was not concerned that the Missouri Synod get big. In fact, he was concerned that the church get big and lose its confession. Walther was absolutely determined to be faithful to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions and to hold Luther in a high place of authority for the sake of clear preaching. And also, he worked like a dog. All of our fathers did, and mothers worked like dogs. Not because they wanted the church necessarily to get big, but it was their vocation to share Christ, and there was so much work to do. So, for me, I am most concerned that we be faithful and work hard. Be faithful. Take advantage of the moment before us. Be faithful to the scriptures. Preach the word effectively. We all should don sackcloth and ashes and read Walther's Law and Gospel. Every one of us, lay and clergy, so clergy can begin to preach again with effective evangelical zeal and effectiveness. And that lay people, as the spiritual priests, as Walther taught over and again, know what good preaching is, and they demand it from their preachers. I think more than anything, those are the kind of thoughts that stick with me from Walther, but there's so many more.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of an article in a forthcoming Lutheran Witness magazine titled Back to Walther. Matt, thank you again for your time.
God bless you, Todd.